Well, what if? We're going to play a little what if tonight, all right? What if you won the lottery? Yeah. You ever thought about that? What if the stock market crashes tomorrow? Oh, man. Now I got some of you all distracted. What if you lose your job? Well, let's talk about something fun. What if you had superhero powers? What would they be? What if? That's a fun game. What if you only, or you knew you only had a month to live? And that changes things. What would you do? What if you had three wishes? Here's a guy named Bob. He's walking along the beach. He finds a lamp, and Bob starts cleaning the lamp, and you know how the story goes. Bam, out comes a genie. The genie says, since you've rescued me from the lamp, I'm going to give you three wishes. Bob says, cool. First, I want $1 billion. Bam, there in his hand is an account number to a Swiss bank account with $1 billion in it. He says, wow, that's really cool. Next, I want a Ferrari. Poof, there's a Ferrari sitting there on the beach. And finally, he says, my third wish, I want to be irresistible to women. And poof, he becomes a box of chocolates, right? What if you could travel back in time? Well, first you go back and redo your third wish, right? What if you could be anybody you wanted to be? Let's see, all that what if, that's just a fantasy game, you know? That's like imaginary, just fantasy. What if, make-believe world. You escape reality playing what if. And for the most part, it's foolish to wonder these what ifs. But I want to ask you some what ifs about the Word of God. Because as I said, I want to challenge you to truly take God at His Word and believe the Bible. So let's just start off with this. What if the Lord held you accountable for every idle word, for everything that you said? What if God was going to hold you accountable for it? Matthew 12, 36, Jesus said, I say to you that every idle word men speak, they will give an account in the day of judgment. What if we believed that? See, it's one thing for us to hear it. It's one thing for us to even know it or be able to quote it. But what if we actually believed that we will all give an account in the day of judgment for every idle word? I think it'd change our conversations, don't you? I mean, if this was true, right? Not fantasy here, though. We're talking about the Word of God. What if we believed the Word of God was true? How would it impact our conversations and the things that we... I think a lot of us end up doing a whole lot less talking. I mean, we would all of a sudden be considered wise. I mean, even the fool seems wise when he keeps his mouth shut. That's what Proverbs said. We'd have a lot of wise people all of a sudden. If we really believed, listen, the Word of God, this is the words of Jesus. So many things in the Scripture that speak so powerfully, and yet somehow it just kind of passes over, you know? It's like we just don't really get it. Do we really believe the Bible? We're always talking about atheists and unbelievers and stuff. Do we really believe the Bible? Because I'm telling you, either this is the greatest fantasy of all time, or else we need to really start believing what this book says. Every word of it. What if God saw everything that we did? What if He was watching? Hebrews 4:13 says, and there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. No matter where we go, what we're doing, God is always watching. I wonder if that would change the way we drive. You know what I'm saying? If we're like, God, I know You're watching me every second. Watch this. No, no, no. I'm telling you, I believe it would change us if we had an awareness. You see, just those two things, talking about the Lord hearing every word, the Lord seeing everything that we do. You know what those two truths would do if we really believe those things? It'd give us a real healthy fear of the Lord, something that's missing in our country today, the fear of God. Oh, how we need that. I mean, even in church, it's amazing how people don't have the fear of the Lord anymore. Oh, if we realize that there's a God who's going to hold us accountable, that's watching over us. Listen, he's not out to get us. He loves us and there's grace, but I'm telling you, we're going to give an account. What if we were going to be judged in the same way that we judge others? You know what it says. It's Matthew 7, 1 and 2. It's Jesus speaking. He says, judge not that you be not judged, for with whatever judgment you judge, you'll be judged. And the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. The same. What if we actually believe this, that when I stand in judgment of somebody else, we don't say that. None of us judges anybody, right? Listen, when we're critical of other people, how about that one? See, let's just take, we're just going to sidetrack around that word judgment. Okay, when we're criticizing other people, when we're accusing other people, when we're talking ugly about other people, James 4, 11 and 12 puts those together. He that speaks evil of his brother judges his brother. See, we're talking about people, putting people, Jesus says the same way it's going to be judged back, you're going to be judged in the same way. I'll tell you what we do is that, you know what, I ain't judging nobody. In fact, in James, he says there's one lawgiver, and guess what? You're not him. You know what that means? It's not our job. It's not our place. And so what if we actually believe that? I'm telling you, it'll change our attitude towards people. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew 5, 7, blessed are the merciful, they shall be shown mercy. Now, if we really believe that, you know what we're going to do? We're going to start cutting everybody some slack. Well, at least all of us imperfect people are. All the religious, prideful people, they're just going to go right on. But the rest of us who know we need mercy, I'm going to show everybody else mercy. What if we actually believe these truths? I think it'll change us. I think it'll change the way we live, the way we act, the way we treat people. What if you were absolutely a new creation? 2 Corinthians 5, 17, you know it. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I want to tell you, there's a whole lot of people that settle in just kind of living the same old life with a little Christianity stamped on it. You need to know that you know that you know that you are a new person, a new creation from the inside out. Whether you feel like it, whether you see it all the time, you need to know that if you're born again, you're a new creation in Christ. You're not the same old person. How are we ever going to live it if we don't even believe it? You got to believe it, and then you'll start living it. What if God himself lived inside of you? Have you ever really thought about that? I mean, the awesome, almighty maker of heaven and earth. What if he lived inside of you? John 4, 4, 1 John 4, 4, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Do you believe that the greater one lives inside of you? Well, that's crazy talk. Do we believe that? God lives inside of us? Listen, that's not something for us to be prideful about. No, it's something for us to be humble about, that by the grace of God, he lives inside of a born again child of God. What if Christ gave you the strength to do anything that you need to do? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Limitless strength. When your strength runs out, when you just don't have any more, there is an abundant supply. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The problem with that is we don't get to say I can't anymore. We can say, I won't. And we can say, that's not what God has for me. But I can tell you this, we can't say, I can't, when we when we got this down in our heart, if we really believe, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, whatever task, whatever he wants you to do, I tell you, he will equip you to do. He'll give you the strength to do it. What if you had power over all the power of the enemy? It's Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you authority. I give you power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You know, the disciples, when they went out and they cast devils out, Jesus told them they had power over the powers of darkness. Do you realize that you have power over the powers of darkness? Do you realize that in the name of Jesus, you have power over all the power of the enemy? Wow, such authority, such power that he's given to us if we just believe what he said. Power. What if he gave you power to be a witness? Acts 1:8. After you receive the Holy Spirit, you shall receive power to be witnesses of me. It's not anymore about your personality. It's not anymore about how influential you are. It's not anymore about your personal strength, but it is about the Holy Spirit. Well, if we believe that, I think we could invite people to church. If we believe that, I think we could talk to people about the Lord. What if we just believe the Bible? What if we believe the words of Jesus? I mean, just think about the words of Jesus, all the powerful things that Jesus said. If we just believe what Jesus said, things like Mark 16:18, Jesus says that believers lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You know what? If we really believe that, then we ought to be excited about praying for the sick. We ought to be eager to do that. If we believe the Bible, if we really believe the Word of God, we look forward to praying for people. Oh, if we could just have real peace in this world. John 14:27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." What if we believe that Jesus gave us that peace? Isaiah 26:3. I'm scrambling. "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee." I can't remember the reference for nothing. You know what? I'm just telling you though, there's a perfect peace that's available to us. Peace. Peace. Anybody need peace tonight? Oh, there's so many promises of peace. It's for you. We just got to receive it by faith, believe what the Bible says. What if when you gave generously, you knew that you were going to be blessed back? You knew that God was going to give you a bountiful harvest? 2 Corinthians 9:6, "He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Listen, I know that there's been a lot of abuse of those kinds of scriptures in our day and time, but don't let the enemy rob you of the truth of that promise and so many others like it just because it's been abused. Amen? That doesn't make it any less true. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. If we believe that, why would we ever sow sparingly? No, we just want to obey God in our giving and always obey God. And who wouldn't want to tithe? He said he would open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. Now, I say this often because it needs to be said often because there's a lot of deception in our day. But let me just tell you, the reason that people don't tithe is not because we don't have to. They always say, "Oh, we don't have to do that. That is in the Old Testament." Well, first place, it's not just Old Testament. Jesus talked about it. But in the second place, that's not why people don't do it. The reason people don't do it is because they don't believe the promise. Because if you believe that when you tithe, God will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you cannot contain and rebuke the devourer for your sake, who wouldn't want in on that deal? We have a better covenant, not a lesser covenant. And who wouldn't want in on that? The reason people don't tithe is because they don't believe the promises for them. Not because they don't have to. It's not a matter of have to. Preacher talking about money. Jesus did it a whole lot more than I do, I'm just telling you. But who wouldn't want in on that deal if we really believe that stuff? What if, let me tell you why people don't pray. The real reason people don't pray more is because, it's not because they're busy. That has nothing to do with it. The real reason people don't pray more is because they don't believe more. Because if we really believed that our prayers were going to be answered, it wouldn't matter how busy we were, what else we had going on in our life, we would always have time for prayer. Always, always, always. We would always pray. Jesus said we should always pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Let me give you this one from Mark 11:24. Jesus said, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. What a great promise from the Word of God. If we believe that, you see, if we really believe the Word of God, if this is not just a fantasy, but this is truth, then it'll cause us to pray more and more and more, looking for opportunities to pray. Every time you hear about a negative situation, every time you know about something not going right, when you hear about somebody doing something right, you want to pray for them. And you pray, and you pray, and you pray. You know what really changes this world? I'm telling you, it's the power of God. You know how you get God's power? Pray. Here's one of the worst religious devil's deceptions in our generation. It says that, well, God's going to do what he's going to do no matter what we do. That is pure garbage. It is not from the Bible. I read in the scripture where a man named Moses stood before the Lord when God said, I'm going to wipe these people out and start over with you. And Moses made intercession for the people and God didn't destroy them. It happens over and over and over. God moves when people pray. The sovereign God of the universe has chosen to work this way. Yes, he is sovereign God. Make no mistake about it. The scripture says he does whatever he pleases. And this is what pleases him. That people pray in faith and he responds to the prayers of his people. Jesus made that so clear. Whatever things you desire when you pray and believe that you receive, you shall have them. What if God's throne room was open to us? That when we have a need, that we can come into the very throne room of God. It's Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What if we believe that was true? That when we're in a time of need, we can go right into the throne of grace, right before the Lord himself. The Almighty, the one who has all power, the one who can do anything. How would we pray? How often would we pray? There's no limit with our God. No sickness he can't heal. No chains of bondage he can't break. No addiction that he can't set free from. See, no opportunity that he can't open for you. I'm telling you, we serve an almighty God who can do anything. What if the one who gave his son for us would also freely give us all things? This is what the Bible says, Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And I'm going to say it again. I know these scriptures get abused. I know people get silly with it. You know, a lot of people try to use the gospel just as another way to get what their carnal, selfish desires want. The things they lust after and covet for, and they try to use the gospel to get those things. That's not what he's talking about here. But I'm telling you, what a powerful promise that the God who gave his son for us, what would he withhold from you? Well, that's another one, isn't it? No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. It's so full of promises if we just believed the Bible. It's not a fantasy. Anything's possible. Mark 9:23, Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. What could you envision? What can you imagine? I mean, I can come up with some pretty outlandish things, but I read in the Bible that we're serving a God, Ephesians 3:20, who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine according to the power that works within us. I'm telling you, that's an amazing God. He can do anything beyond what you can imagine. You can't even dream up what God can do. That's how infinite he is and how awesome and powerful he is. We just need to learn to believe him more, believe God's word, act like we believe it. I'm telling you, these are spiritual truths we should be living every day. They're principles from his word. They are promises that are available to us. There's literally hundreds or thousands of them that are available to us, but we got to act on our faith, not just have an old dead faith, but believe God, take him at his word. I want to remind you, Jesus said heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will stand forever. You can count on the word of God. The Bible says that God is not a man, that he should lie. The Lord says, you thought I was altogether like you. Oh, no. He is not a man that he should lie. The Bible says it is impossible for God to lie. He cannot lie. We just need to learn to take him at his word. What if when we gathered in his name, and I want to tell you, this is a real key. When you talk about gathering in his name, it's when he is the reason you came together. It's not just when anybody gets together. It's when you gather in his name. It's when you came together in his name. He said, there am I in the midst of you. What if Jesus was going to show up? I want to tell you something right now. People get all excited because they see an image that they think is the face of Jesus. Oh, look at it right there in that grain of wood. Do y'all see that? Do y'all see that? And they'll announce it and they'll publicize it and people come to look at it. I'm not talking about some silly stuff like that. I'm talking about something that's real. Something that Jesus himself said. That when people gather in his name, he said, there am I in the midst of them. Oh, we're going to have this special speaker next Sunday, Mr. Big Shot. You all know his name. Mr. Big Shot's going to be here. Better yet, we're going to have a football star come and speak. We'll pack the house out. And the only one that really matters whether or not they're here is Jesus. Because if Jesus is in the house, there's power to heal. There's power to set free. If Jesus is in the house, I want to tell you that anything can happen. Yes. Marriages put back together. All we need is Jesus. I'm just telling you. And if we really believe, see, if you knew that Jesus was going to be here tonight, I think some of you would have brought some more people. He's going to be here Sunday too, I'm just telling you. It's Matthew 18:20, by the way, if you want the reference, where two or three are gathered in my name. I'm there in the midst of them. One of my favorite stories in the scripture is from Mark chapter 2. It says And again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house, and immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even the door near the door. And he preached the word to them, and they came to him bringing a paralytic man who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. That's what happens when Jesus is in the house and people know about it. They want to get their friends there. They go pick them up and bring them when Jesus is in the house. I'm just telling you, if we really believe Jesus is in the house, when there's time for prayer, like at the end of the service where people are going to pray, believers lay hands on the sick, let me tell you who else is there. Jesus is in the house. Oh, how we need to believe that Jesus shows up when we have church. What if he was really here? I know what our flesh needs. We're like old Doubting Thomas. I believe when I see it. And so what we need to see Jesus come out from behind there in a white robe, with his face shining, and see the scars in his hands, and then we'll believe Jesus is here. No. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Peter says, you haven't seen him, but you love him. You haven't seen him, but you believe in him. That's us. We believe. The one that can forgive sins. The one that sets free, he's here. And if we believe he's here, church is quite different. I think it's different from the time you walk in the doors. If you have an awareness of living God, that the presence of God is here, that Jesus is here in our midst. And I know how this has been messed up in the pop theology of the day. Oh, but you know, Jesus is everywhere. Of course he's everywhere. God is omnipresent. But if you read the Bible, you'll see that there were special times when the presence of God came down and the glory of the Lord was in the house. You'll see that there was times like Moses spoke to God face to face as a man with his friends. And you see that there's special times like where Jesus himself says, if two or three gather in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There's something special about that. And I want you to understand tonight that we just need to start believing the whole word of God. We need to start believing the Bible. And oh, if we don't get anything else, let's get this one. If Jesus was here, how would we worship? If Jesus was here, how would we respond to the word? If Jesus was here. So I challenge you today, live as though you believe the Bible. It's not enough just to give a mental assent to it, to say we believe it. No, James says that that's a dead faith. We got to live what we believe. We got to allow it to change the way that we live every day. None of this stuff that I've said to you from the scripture tonight is fantasy. Every bit of it is true. It is God's word. And there's so much more there. I mean, I know I accuse myself, so it's okay if you do it too. I preach the whole Bible. I mean, I like to give you the whole Bible in one message. I'm not going to do it tonight. I'm just going to give you like 1,000th of it tonight. But what I'm saying is there's so much there. You can take just one of those scriptures and you start meditating on it. You go through your day thinking about that verse and it'll change you. It'll change your day. It'll change your life. If we actually believe, what if we believed the Bible? Let me give it to you one more time. Luke 21:33, Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, But my words will by no means pass away. So I challenge you tonight to believe Jesus' words, to believe the word of God, to take it to heart. One word can change your life. One word can give you a breakthrough. One word can totally change your family. One word. Believe the Bible. It's not a fantasy. It's absolutely true. And I tell you, we've seen so many miracles and so many changed lives, but it's just the beginning of what God wants to do. Amen. Amen. You know what? Here's a miracle for you. It's 8:21 and I'm done. Oh, I'm telling you, people have longed for this day. We used to go to almost 9 o'clock sometimes when we were spiritual. No, I'm just kidding. I'll tell you, the Lord doesn't need a long time to speak to hearts and to move. Amen. Sometimes it just takes the preacher a while to get it out. But anyway, I want you to stand with me.